All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal, you are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
It is National Nutrition Month, and we are just excited to bring this conversation to you. And with us, from UPMC Hammett, is Janet Krustowski. She's a registered dietitian with a master's degree in public health and an advanced practitioner in nutrition here at Hammett. You've been in, dietetics for 40 years. Janet, pull that mic towards you, and thank you so much for coming on the air with us. We really appreciate it here.
Well, thanks for asking me.
All right, we're a family show. We like to get origin stories. How did you come up? Are you an Erie person?
Or
did
yes.
Transplant in?
Okay. I'm an Erieite.
Awesome.
Born and raised here, and I only left for my master's degree in the 80s.
Okay.
But I ended up coming back.
Yeah. So, like, did you get interested in food? Like, did you like to cook or bake as a teenager or something like that, and then that kind of navigated to something like this, or not really?
No, actually, I battled my weight all my life.
Okay.
Back in the 60s and 70s, healthy kids were overweight, and they always said fat babies were healthy babies, but we know that that's not the case.
Mm.
And my parents grew up in the Depression, where all they had was bread and potatoes.
Yeah.
So when they could provide all of these foods for us, fruits and vegetables and grains and the protein meats, they were giving us large portions, not to their fault. I mean, that was what the mindset. My mom would always say, I didn't know any better. No fault.
Right.
That's what the thinking was.
Well,
back
and remember,
then.
Do you remember hearing the whole story of, you better eat everything off your plate because there's kids in China that
starving.
Are starving.
And we'd say, put a hole in the ground and send it to China.
Oh,
let's go out and dig a hole. Because remember, you're supposed, when we were kids, you're supposed to be able to get to China.
right through the magma. Yeah.
Yes.
No, but so.
So I've struggled with my weight.
Yeah.
And actually, my older sisters, two of them, we all went to McDowell. And they ended up getting into, back then it was secretarial work.
Okay,
typing
sure.
in shorthand. My one sister went on to do a little bit of accounting. But I was really good in all the sciences. Mm. I loved chemistry, not organic when I got in college, but
right.
biology. So my parents said, you're going to college.
Oh, good for
you. The only
you.
Thing
wow.
I took was typing. And back in the 70s, not very many kids went to college.
But they
saw that I had the interest and the potential to go to college, so I did. And actually, they took me to Mercyhurst College, university, and at an open house and said, go in there and see what kind of major you come out with.
Wow.
So I started talking to professors and went towards the sciences.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of dietetics either.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very involved program. It was a 5-year program into your 4 years.
Wow.
So it was really tough. Not only were you going to classes, but you were putting in clinical hours at both the hospitals.
Okay.
Initially, I thought it was going to be a breeze because I was really good in all the science.
Right, yeah.
Turned out not to be, but definitely well worth it.
Wow. Well, and what's like if what's the foundational concept of nutrition and dietetics, as you call that? Like, if there's like this overriding theme that you try to have people understand about it, what is it?
We look at research, the current research that's substantiated,
yeah,
and try to translate that into common ways that people can improve their health.
Okay.
That's actually what a registered dietitian does.
Should we be okay with the concept, especially as they talk up, you know, when we think about the FDA and the government and their messaging, should we be okay that back in the 70s and 80s, we had one message, and it seems like the message has been totally turned on its ear now in the 2020s? Are we okay? Should we be okay with that?
Based on what we knew in the 70s, that was the thinking. It started out with, I believe, way back when I was first, it was just the four food groups. And
yes,
you had servings from all your food groups. Then the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And actually grains should be our main item that we have each day, food group that we have each day, but not in the amounts that we're eating them. And then came the plate. And the plate is actually one way to just look at each meal.
Yes.
And it's really a better concept than trying to remember what you've eaten the whole day to try to meet all those food groups that were on the pyramid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that half of your plate should be vegetables or vegetables and fruit, and the other half should be divided by your starch or your grain and then your protein.
Okay.
But unfortunately, our proteins and our carbohydrates or grains foods are very large in America.
Yeah.
You know, people laugh at me when I tell them that a half a cup of pasta is a serving, cooked pasta. And a third of a cup of rice is a serving.
Right, yeah.
Because you can go anywhere and get 6 cups, 8 cups as an entree in a restaurant.
That's really remarkable. When
our
you think
portions
about it.
Have, it is. I think they want you to come back, so they give you larger portions, mm-hmm. and you want to make sure that you get your money's worth.
Right.
So that's why they give you the large portions.
But there's nothing stopping you from cutting it in half.
No,
you know,
that's actually what we recommend.
That's what they
sometimes
always say.
Sometimes you can get 3 meals.
Wow.
Some of the, I probably shouldn't use names, but
yeah.
Yeah. Restaurants, but
yeah.
I mean, you get this bowl that's huge and I can make it 3 meals.
Wow. What
but
is
that's the best thing to do.
Right.
Try to eat a half or a little bit less and then ask them if you could put it aside right away,
mm-hmm.
or just make sure, because you're tempted when it's on your plate, you're tempted to eat it all.
Sure. Yeah. Are you finding that because I don't know if we're just richer or if we're just more tired, that people are eating out more as opposed to, you know, going to the grocery store, buying their fresh fruits, vegetables, and proteins, and making their own meals? And to me, that I would think that is always going to be the better option to keep your sodium down and all the things that we're
exactly.
Encouraged to not do, right? I mean,
it's convenience.
It's all about convenience.
Mm-hmm, and we're always pushed for time.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a family, you have to get the kids here, you know, you have multiple children, you drive through and you get dinner and you go home. You know, it's just become our way, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And I think some people got back a little bit because there was so much delivery, and there still is, got back during COVID because they had the fast foods delivered.
Right, yeah.
But I think some families actually, while we're home, we should start cooking again.
And yeah, that big baking bread and the sourdough thing, right? Aren't those
again,
all
in moderation?
Big?
They yes. actually have whole grain sourdough.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, sourdough somehow has come back. I remember when it was like early 90s.
Yes.
That everybody.
My dad.
You want a bag of my sourdough? No, we've got 5 of them. You know?
My dad would make it.
Oh, would he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and wow. It never raced.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, we had a bread machine back in the
yes,
day.
Then the bread machine came, then it worked out okay.
Yeah.
When he made it out of with the machine.
You don't see those around.
No,
very
I
much
don't
anymore.
Think so anymore.
We're talking to Janet from UPMC. She's a dietitian. She's got a master's degree in public health. Do you think that diet, when we look at the global public health kind of a deal, is this our biggest issue? Is what we're intaking, or is it both that and the lack of exercise?
It's both.
It is both.
It's both. And they've actually classified obesity as a health diagnosis because there's so much obesity.
Right.
I don't know how many. It's probably one in two adults are obese. I'm not sure.
Wow.
One in. I know. In
or at least overweight. Yeah.
Overweight or obese.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know in children, it's one in three are obese. It's an epidemic in children. It's probably beyond epidemic with the adults.
Well,
but not quite to the pandemic.
We were dealing with that too, as far as you know, they were trying to change some of the regulations for the free lunch program.
There's always cutbacks.
Didn't the kids like say, "Oh, Michelle Obama wrecked our lunches" or whatever, right? Have you heard that?
Yes, I've heard that. But actually, she was helping to improve them.
She was trying, yeah.
She was trying, yes. So some of the guidelines were raised, like their fat content of their foods, not adding the margarine and butter to their vegetables, and then having more fruits and vegetables. But if the children are not used to eating those foods at home, you're probably not going to get them to eat those foods.
Okay.
It's really your eating habits are developed when you're young and at home. If you didn't have vegetables, you're not going to eat vegetables when you're an adult. And then you're not going to raise your kids eating vegetables either.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you can get kids exposed, or parents, actually, to changing their eating habits, then the children see that, or they get served the same food at home that you do.
Janet Krestowski, she is a registered dietitian from UPMC, and she is here to talk about National Nutrition Month. Throughout March, we are going beyond the table and the ideas of, farm to fork and, what we eat and of course, our RDNs and NDTRs. What do those stand for, Janet? What's an NDTR?
Is a dietetic technician registered.
Okay, yeah. And the registered dietetic nurse or?
No, nutritionist.
Nutritionist,
They added, some of us oldies
okay.
just go by RD.
Okay,
but they incorporated the RDN, the nutritionist, because a lot of people call themselves nutritionists and they have no formal education and have really no business doing that.
Okay, yeah.
But so they added our organization, the Academy of Dietetics and Nutrition, added the N to the RD.
Gotcha.
Just to help, distinguish us from the people who call themselves.
We were talking about kids and obesity and I wanted to talk a little bit about the emotional connection here. And again, we joked about our parents saying you got to eat your whole plate because kids are starving elsewhere. In many traditions, like ethnic traditions, the food is the thing. Like being Italian, the food is the thing. And so
it's almost every
Polish,
yes.
German, African American. I mean, it just go on and on and on and on, right? So
eat, and if you didn't eat, they were offended.
Yeah, you offended your grandmother who
That's
slaved
the
away.
Thing, I think.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so you wanted to please them.
You wanted to please them,
did.
But I'm thinking, like, fast forward to now, and parental attitudes about food. Like, for example, if you're overweight, I'm not sure you can see that kid becoming overweight as being a problem because it's your genetics, or he's hungry or she's hungry, or they really love Ho-Hos, and so you buy the Ho-Hos or you buy the Happy Meal. And you just create this cycle
of
nutritional dysfunction, unfortunately.
Oh, I like that. Nutritional dysfunction.
Well, I mean, oh,
no,
gosh.
I like yeah. it. No, I really yeah. do. I like that term.
Well, I mean, how do you break a cycle like that?
You have to get to help the parents, get to the parents somehow. And usually kids can develop serious diseases. I mean, with obesity, 1 in 3 children, they have diagnosed type 2 diabetes.
This is not type 1.
Seven. No, it's
this
not
is type
2.
One.
It's type 2.
For a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Who is, you know, 100, 150 pounds under the age of 10 or 12. And it's their inactivity. And they're bored all the time. So all they do is eat. And the parents, you know, want to keep them occupied. So they feed them.
Yeah.
And they're junk snack foods. And they go through the fast food. And nobody gets a Happy Meal anymore. The kids get the large fries and burgers that their parents get.
Like an adult
portion. Actually, all of us, even adults, should just eat a Happy Meal.
Right. Wow. Wow.
Because you can get like 1,200 calories easy with, I think I remember the bigger
right.
hamburgers.
Yeah, right.
At both places.
Yeah.
We're around 700 calories each.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And the ones that have the two burgers on.
And if you have any idea of, like, you know, wearing a Fitbit or some kind of a tracker of what it takes to burn even 300 calories, like, that is a major workout just to get to mm-hmm. 300 calories. And yeah. you just said one burger could be 700 calories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we understand that.
1,200.
I don't think people understand those equations at all.
No. They just never were taught.
Mm-hmm.
And they likely have grown up in the same type of environment where their parents relied on fast food too.
Yeah. Talk about sodas and sugary drinks.
Well, they're empty calories, and the best thing to do is replace them with water, even if you have to start diluting them with and eventually get to water. Water is the best beverage to drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sugar is just empty calories.
Do you have what do your patients tell you that they have to have that Diet Coke? And even that can screw you up a little bit, right?
Well, there's some question about
yeah.
the diet soft drinks. In moderation, like, I may have a Diet Coke every couple of days.
Okay.
But I've worked with patients who drink a considerable amount of diet. So it's not going to give you calories, but they're thinking that there might be some disadvantages too.
Some kind of like either hormone trigger or something that is indicating like more, like wanting to eat more
to increase your appetite.
Even though you're taking this zero calorie drink.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if that's been confirmed in research or not.
Okay.
But I've worked with a number of adults who drink two-liter bottles or three. Is it 2 liter, the big ones? Yeah.
Yeah.
Of regular Coke a day. Men.
That's
and
insane.
I'm like, you know what? You'd lose weight if you just eliminated that.
If you just cut it in half.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
If you just cut it in
yeah.
half. Yeah. So we do, yeah. as a society, I think, drink a lot of our calories.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess it's just because it's there with the fast food, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I grew up, we never had any soft drinks unless it was the holiday.
Wow.
And we what was that one eerie company that we had that I loved? It was a grapefruit. I can't think of what the name. Mailers.
Yes.
Do you remember Mailers?
I think so. Sure.
And it was a grapefruit soda. And that was like, oh my gosh,
right.
we got that for Christmas. You know?
Yeah.
Or ginger ale that sparkled.
Now you're dating yourself.
Yes.
Mailers. Talk about, let's go through the different, I've got just like a couple minutes, but I want to go through the different meals here. And then we're going to talk about, building a routine here. But let's start like with breakfast here. I mean, is that bowl of cornflakes really a smart choice?
It's better than nothing. Your breakfast is the most important meal.
So you should definitely eat breakfast, is what you're saying.
Yes, because it starts your metabolism for the day.
Okay.
Skipping it and waiting, which a lot of people do, they won't eat lunch. no breakfast, no lunch. They get home, they are literally hungry. Mm-hmm. So what do? You eat dinner, and then you eat all the way up until the time you go to bed because you're hungry. You haven't eaten
so
all day.
So interesting.
And what do you, you go to bed, are you burning any of those calories? No.
Yeah, you're eating at the exact wrong time.
A wow. better cereal would be something that has whole wheat in it.
Okay.
Like even shredded wheat.
Yeah.
Would be better, or frosted shredded wheat, I would say. Shredded wheat is very good, but frosted shredded wheat would be better than cornflakes from, because the more fiber, fiber actually helps sustain your satiety, put off your satiety too.
Right.
And it's really good for digestion. You know, there's been a lot about antioxidants and fiber and reducing the risk of colon cancer.
You like eggs? You like bacon?
Sure.
Well, I mean, they say eggs have fats in them, right? I mean, yeah, saturated fat.
Actually, the saturated fat is in the yolk. If you eat the egg white, it's all protein.
Okay.
So if you're watching your cholesterol, eat the egg white, or if you're like making scrambled eggs, leave one yolk in and put in two whites.
Okay. Interesting. Bacon, sausage.
Well,
breakfast
personally, when I eat bacon, I can't tell you the last time I had bacon.
Really?
Because it's mostly fat, bacon and butter. I feel my arteries clogging.
Is that right?
It's in my head. And as a dietitian.
So you're not.
Bacon is really a fat.
You're not really on the kick of.
Keto?
Of keto
no.
and any of that stuff.
Can you tell?
I guess so.
Interestingly enough,
yeah.
Do you know what it was called the ketogenic diet?
Yeah.
And it was, I think, at least 50 years ago or longer that they found out that children who had epilepsy, they decreased their carbohydrates and gave them more fat, and it helped them to have longer times between their seizures and a shorter length of time with the seizures. And that's how it came about. How it got to be a diet for weight loss, I have no idea.
I want you to weigh in, Janet, on this concept of farm to fork. You know, you hear about farm to table things, and it is difficult. It's expensive, but it's pretty important to kind of know where your food's coming from
and how it's grown. And the best thing to do is to start small and have your own little indoor garden.
Yeah, we started...
grow spices, you can grow peppers.
We did a 4x4 raised bed.
Outside,
Yeah, and we were able to grow amazing tomatoes and garlic and lettuce.
So the theme is to try to encourage more discussion of that and get more people to do that.
Yeah.
And get more, buy more fresh fruits and vegetables. Like, I think they still have the farmer's market,
absolutely,
don't they, down here every summer? Get, eat more of that. It's accessible. And I know the WIC program, you're allowed to buy fresh fruits and vegetables.
And use the access card to do it. Wow.
No, they have they have a separate WIC card.
Okay, they have a WIC card.
But
gotcha.
You could use your access card too.
Okay.
But people don't choose to use those healthy foods.
Yeah.
A lot of the times,
the produce is key. The knowing about your meats or whatever. I mentioned that that we had bought a quarter cow. There's these what do they call those
lean proteins?
Well, when you kind of join a program where you are a portional supporter of a farmer, the CD something. Yeah, people are kind of shouting at them.
And I can't,
You know what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
You can support a farmer.
My coworkers is probably shouting at me right now.
But you get a weekly bag of produce and things.
Yes.
And sometimes they'll throw in flowers it's kind of cool that way.
Yes.
We were talking about breakfast. Let's talk about lunch. Again, a lot of people, they have 25 minutes for lunch or they pack their lunch. What would you say is a great idea? What are some great ideas for packing your lunch?
Use your leftovers from dinner the night before.
Sure.
Yeah. That's another part of the fork to table, is that we have so much, raise awareness of so much of the food that we waste.
Oh, yeah.
And, yes, we might get it from, local farmers and local produce, but lots of times we're pitching it, or you buy more than you need for the time in the from the grocery store, and it gets rotten.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also trying to make people aware that we really need to buy less so we don't have or freeze it.
Okay.
A lot of most fruits you can freeze. So we reduce, I think it's 10 billion pounds of food that we waste.
Just
Americans
goes in the landfill.
A year. Yep.
Wow. Incredible. The
billions of pounds of food each year.
Wow.
Either at home or eating out. Some people don't even take what they have left, so the restaurant throws it out. Grocery stores, the produce goes bad, they throw it out.
Sure. Wow.
If it doesn't look quite right, you know, it may be still able to be consumed and sold, but mm-hmm. people, you know, look for perfect fruit, perfect vegetables.
Are you a big fan of, like, you know, tuna and, you know, some of the things that are easy to bring to work, you know? I mean, so, like, we don't have a microwave here. You know,
I think those tuna pouches are great.
You like that? Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't usually have a lot of fat or mayo in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tuna in water.
Mm-hmm.
That's a better than tuna in the oil.
Right.
Okay. There are some healthy, should I say, cheating ways to have a good lunch.
Sure. Yeah.
Instead of, it's always going to be healthy to bring it from home instead of getting fast food.
What's your take on dairy? Milk, cheese, yogurts.
You should look for non-fat or low-fat.
Again, I'm going to ask you the question I asked you off the air. The low-fat or non-fat yogurt, doesn't that just replace fats with sugar?
No, not in the yogurt.
Okay.
In salad dressings, the fat-free salad dressings have yogurt in place of their fat.
Have sugar in place.
Sugar in place of their fat.
So you got to really watch your sugar
content. Better off getting a reduced fat salad dressing or using a very small amount of the regular salad dressing. An old weight loss program was to dip your fork in your salad dressing before. You know this one too?
Oh, yeah.
And then stab your salad or take your salad on your fork and then dab that in.
So the whole drowning of the salad is not
a big...
Well, but again,
because it's fat. Well, not on keto.
Right. Well, I'm going to say,
but it's
like,
really not healthy.
When I look at, let's say, a simple, you know, olive oil and vinegar type of dressing, are you not a big fan of olive oil, or are you?
No, olive oil is healthy. It's a monounsaturated fat.
Okay.
And it has been found to help heart disease or, you know, prevent heart disease.
Because, I mean, like.
But again, it's the amount you use.
Well, right.
If you're going to do the whole, you know.
You don't have to drown it. You should pour. A lot of this whole thing here, and we were talking about it, is the portion control. And so.
Exactly.
I think.
Everything in moderation.
A salad dressing portion is 2 tablespoons, if I'm not correct.
Usually on the bottle.
So you really have
to. But a portion for 45 calories is a tablespoon.
Okay. All right. So really, you know. You should be measuring.
Mm-hmm.
So you, what did you say?
And if you measured,
a third of a cup of cooked rice?
Mm-hmm. It's 15.
Already finished rice.
Yes.
A third of a cup is a portion.
Is a portion, 15 grams of carbohydrate for someone who's, or any of us actually. Shouldn't be more than a half a cup.
So when you get that large fries, you're like, you're blowing it out.
You're probably eating maybe 2 meals worth of carbohydrates, or maybe you're 3.
Seriously.
At one time.
Wow.
And patients make comments to us all the time. I can't eat all this food when they're inpatients in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because it's not what they're used to. They're used to eating very high calorie, high fat foods, and they're, you know, they don't eat as much volume.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do healthier food, lower fat, the appropriate portions, it does seem like it's more.
It actually is.
Yeah. But it's healthier food.
Right. Let's talk about snacks. Do you like nuts and like what, you know, I'm thinking about that 4 o'clock. I got to get through this, brain fog that I have before I punch out, you know, kind of thing.
Nuts are a good alternative for snacks. Walnuts and almonds especially have been found to have heart protective.
Okay.
Similar to the olive oil.
M&M's? Just joking.
Well, if you
yeah,
take,
Reese's Cups.
Yeah,
you know,
if you take off the shell on the peanut M&M and take.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I'm a chocoholic. I love Reese's too.
You love the Reese's too? Yeah.
But again, it's everything in moderation. Right. There shouldn't be any food that you tell yourself that you can't have. Because the more you say, I can't have that, the more you want it.
I want you to say that again.
And then when you get it.
I think that's a huge point.
You're
going to
eat a whole bunch of it.
Like, say that one more time because that I think that's the big takeaway.
It is. It is. It's very simple though. You know, the more that you say to yourself, I cannot have that food, or someone tells you you shouldn't eat that food, the more you're going to want it. It's just human nature. You say, I can't have it. I'm going for it. And then when you do eat it, you're going to eat a much larger portion because you think, I deserve this. I haven't had this for X number of days, X number of months.
Yeah. Talk about
but
timing.
Why not have it?
Why not have
maybe
it?
Maybe not every day, but every few days and have a cup of it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, you know, low-fat ice cream.
Right.
Or frozen yogurt.
I love how my doctor will say, you know, have a holiday, not... You know, holiday week or holiday month.
Right.
Because some of us have to have our pizzels and our, you know, our, I don't know, in the Polish world, what's the big holiday cookies and
actually,
stuff?
Actually, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I grew up German and Slovak, but it's not that much different.
Not that much different, right?
All I can think of is not a sweet, but the pierogies.
Oh,
and
sure. Yes, right.
For
right.
The Polish. But
right.
We always had Christmas cookies. And again, we always say moderation.
Yeah.
Do you need to eat a half a dozen cookies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you eat two or three?
So you
during the
yeah.
Christmas time. Yeah. How many pizzels can you get by with eating three of those?
I could probably get by with eating one, you know. I mean,
that's
just to
perfect.
Have the taste.
Yes.
You
exactly.
want the taste and then move along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Because you're not saying, I can't have it, I can't have it, I can't
right.
have it.
Wow. You were talking about, you know, what dinners might look like. And you might be making enough, but portion it out. And then that maybe you have a couple meals out of that,
mm-hmm.
out of that deal.
Yeah, you could refrigerate it and then, like, use it later on in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, make something on Monday at dinner and then maybe have it a Thursday or Friday.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Or take, and or you could take the leftovers for your lunch the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
To help reduce
after
food
dinner,
waste.
What's your take on, you know, people will have the popcorn, they watch the movie, or they'll, you know, I mean, a lot of people have trouble with that through the evening snacking.
It's because we've made that connection between watching TV and sitting on the couch with, oh, I have to eat something. And we've programmed ourselves just like eating the large plate of food.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get away from, I know it's really hard, but try not to make that association. Limit yourself to eating just in your kitchen or your dining area or your dining room where you normally eat. So the living room in front of the TV is off limits and no bedrooms. You know, a lot of kids eat food in the bedrooms.
You just set house
and again,
rules.
That was another. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the best way because there's that association in your brain that when I'm sitting here, I need to be eating something.
Yeah.
Or
I'm
in front,
entitled
or in
to
front
that
of the, or, in
or
front of the
Redenbacher's.
Yes.
Or in front of the computer. Wow.
But, you know, you could eat a small portion mm-hmm. of Orville Redenbacher's. Like, I think it's like maybe a half a bag of the, of
yeah,
course.
Of the pop.
Not the butter, but the lower
Man,
fat
she doesn't
popcorn.
Like the butter.
You know, as a treat every once in yeah. a while when you're watching a movie. But we've conditioned ourselves that we have to have food in so many different functions. Like mm-hmm. you were talking about social things, you know, families when they get together. The main thing is food.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's okay. It's how much we eat.
There's no doubt.
And how fast we eat, too.
Okay. Is there a rule of thumb with that? With
speed?
Well, the faster you eat, the more you can consume before you realize that you're full.
Are you one of those advocates of drinking a glass of water before you even start your meal? Like something about just starting to fill your stomach a little bit beforehand.
You can do that, or you can drink water in between bites. Helps. But that's exactly what water does at meals.
It fills you up a bit. Okay. Yeah.
And then if you have some whole grains, you've got the fiber too.
Yeah.
Which also helps fill you up.
Can you weigh in on this concept of intermittent fasting? I'm interested in how you feel about this timing thing that people are kind of doing now. Where, okay, I'm not going to eat after 7 or eat after 8, and I won't eat until 8 in the morning or what have you, you know.
Well, actually, that's what we've recommended for years.
Okay.
6 or 7 o'clock, try not to eat anything after p.m.
Yes.
Until the next morning at breakfast. And we think it's funny, us dietitians, that all of a sudden it's got a name, intermittent fasting. When that's what, it's almost 12 hours. If you go from 6 to 6, you get up at, you know, you might eat your breakfast later at 7 or 8, but it's at least 12 hours. And they're recommending, they're different, I guess, different things. There's like when you're not supposed to eat all day and then you eat at night. That's exactly what we say you shouldn't do because you go to bed. And then there's the intermittent fasting where I guess you eat for 5 days and then 2 days you eat nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That's
you just drink water.
Wow.
And like, well, okay. Yes, you are like the keto diet, putting yourself in ketosis and you're breaking down your fat stores, but your body, your brain, everything needs nourishment every day. I know I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people do eat all night long. So this, if they call it intermittent fasting, what we've always recommended, 6P to 6A, then good, do it.
Right.
But not eating all day long or, only eating 5 days out of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no research haven't studied it or have long enough studies to prove, and I think they've done in animals and not actual human studies for the intermittent fasting.
Have you noticed that when people are really focusing on their portion control and maybe they're trying to lose weight or what have you, that really it really does work, yet there's this concept of always being hungry. How do you retrain your brain? I mean, do you guys deal with that a lot?
Slowing down, putting your fork down, sitting back. Taking breaks while you're eating instead of constantly
shoveling it in.
Plus, if you try to just decrease your portions gradually, say you're used to eating, 2,000 calories a day, and then the doctor says or someone says you need 1,200. That is a huge. And you're going to get discouraged because you can't go from 2,000 to 1,200 and you're looking at the amount for the whole day.
Right.
And it's just not enough. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, forget it. So we suggest that, whatever your portions are now, cut them back gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Go a quarter less, then go a half less and do it like a few weeks or a month.
Right.
Any small changes, eat slower. Any of these small changes will add up. And if you're willing to do them for the rest of your life, like we say, lifestyle changes with eating and, activity as well, you're going to stick with it. It's going to become human nature instead of going on all these temporary fad diets that you get right back to your previous weight and lots of times gain more weight. I've worked with a number of patients who do the fad, they lose the weight, they gain back what they lost plus more.
It's so discouraging to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can take the approach where I can do this, gradually, I would have cardiac patients and young guys would tell me, I can eat a whole pizza and, 30 wings every Friday night. I said, can you eat a half a pizza and 15 wings and only do it twice a month? Well, yeah, I can do that, but I thought you were going to tell me I can't have any.
Right.
Ideally, but no, you can't do that. You're going to go with your buddies and you're going to.
Yeah.
So then I told him, you know, like, or them, you know, cut it back to once a month and get it down to 4 pieces of pizza and 10 wings. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess I could probably do that.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, it's about moderation.
Yeah.
And we've said that for years and years.
And a trajectory of where you're trying to land. Wow. What's the, and we're finishing up here with Janet from UPMC. What's the impact of alcohol on your diet? Have you guys dealt
calories.
With calories? Is it calories?
Calories.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it really doesn't matter where your calories, the majority of your calories come from, if it comes from fat or if it comes from carbohydrate or protein in the diet. Calories in and calories out are the only way that you can maintain or lose your weight. You have to expend more or you have to eat less to lose weight, or both, ideally.
So if you're a typical, you know, 3 or 4 beers on a Friday night, that's a lot of calories.
Yeah, actually, you should probably be doing like 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
And taking that into consideration if you're going to do that every Friday night.
Yes. It's like it might as well be pizza and wings.
Right.
In your, you know, how you guys analyze that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it had any special properties. You know,
no, it's strictly just calories. Yeah, okay. Just like the calories that you'd get from any food that you would eat.
Gotcha.
Even if it's higher in fat, like the keto diet foods, it's still calories.
Mm-hmm.
And you are cutting back on your calories when you follow the keto diet.
Right.
So that's why you lose weight. Plus your fat, you're in ketosis and your fat is being used as your energy store because there's no carbohydrates for your body and your brain to have energy.
Bottom line, you have a lot of patients at Erie. You're not running out of patients.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, Erie's got an issue with obesity.
I think so.
Erie has an issue with our diets, don't we?
I think we were second or third highest rate of obesity in the state.
Seriously?
I think we're ahead of some bigger cities. Yes.
So it's about the portions and it's about the quality.
And your activity.
Okay.
Any way that you can increase, take a walk, take the stairs, anything that you can do, take the dog for a walk, anything, throw a ball around with your kids, anything that you can do. You know, you don't have to join a gym and work really hard. I mean, you can, but if you do these small things, again, just like eating, you're going to increase your energy expenditure.
That sounds good. Janet Kratowski, she is the registered dietitian from UPMC Hammett. Thanks for taking the time and happy National Nutrition Month. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.